Let's just pray quickly. Father, tonight I come to you, Father. It's not me standing here, but it's you, Father. I surrender. Father, I ask that you will use me. Give me wisdom, understanding, open ears tonight, Father. Father, this word doesn't come from me. It comes from you, my Lord. And I ask, Father, that you will use me mightily in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, evening. It's the first time that I'm standing in front of you. I'm used to standing in front of the Bible school, but not in the evening. So this word came because a question was asked to me. It's my culture. Why can't I have more than one wife? And I gave the answer, but God made man and woman, not man and many women. And you must love your own wife. But I myself was not satisfied with the answer. And then I watched a movie. It's actually a German movie. Plays off in the 16th century. And it has to do with a midwife and a priest. In those days, when a woman gave birth, they would call the midwife and they would call the priest. The priest would sit outside the door and he will pray through his rosemary, and he would go through those beads 1,000 miles an hour. And the midwife was the one that did actually the job. And they were skilled in such a way that the doctors start to learn from them how to deliver babies. And the midwives were instructed that if there was a difficult birth, you would insert a tube into the woman and baptize the baby. Because if the baby died, and it was not baptized, that baby would not go to heaven, but go to hell. And the Lord spoke to me and says, that is a covenant with the church. It's not a covenant with me. I've got two covenants that reconcile man with God. Only two. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. The title of the sermon is The Mystery of the New Covenant. Wow. There's doctors sitting here, and I'm trying to teach you guys. I'm nothing. All right, let's go on. First of all, we'll have to look at the Old Covenant. Genesis chapter 17, verses 10 to 13. Genesis chapter 17, verses 10 to 13 says, "This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generation. He who is born in your house or brought with money from any foreigner or is not your descendants, he who is born in your house and he who is brought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant." My covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. All right. This covenant, the old covenant, has got two parts. The first part is the cutting of the covenant and the blood that flows by the male child. That is the covenant between you and God. And it has got a second part. "And you shall obey all the commandments of God given through Moses, including the sacrifice of animals which cover your sins." The sin sacrifice of animals. The blood of animals which cover your sins. It does not forgive. It only covers your sin. All right. Let's look now at the new covenant. We've gone to the old covenant. We must also look at the new covenant. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians. Oh, no wonder I can't find it. All right. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is the new covenant. What is the new covenant then? The new covenant, firstly, is the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us, that gets us born again. But then it also includes the bread, which is his body. What does 1 John 1 says? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is the body of Christ. It's the body. So the new covenant is the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's the gospel. All right. It's the gospel. Is it only the gospel? Is it the Old Testament as well? Yes, it's the Old Testament as well, because the Old Testament shows you towards the New Testament. And the New Testament explains the gospel of Jesus Christ, how to live it. Then we see that there's a mystery, a great mystery, concerning the gospel. Ephesians 5 verse 22 to 33, and I'll read it for you. Just listen carefully. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let so your wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is the great mystery I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she represents her husband. So we see that the mystery of the gospel is that the church is the bride of Christ, is the wife of Jesus Christ. So when you said, yes, I want to be born again, you actually said, I will marry Jesus Christ. I will be the bride of Jesus Christ. Now we'll have to go back to the Old Testament. And we'll have to go back to the Old Covenant. Because it doesn't make sense. Old Covenant is based on the male. Nothing about the woman. So were the woman not saved in the Old Covenant? Covenant was only cut between the male child and God. But now, because we know the mystery, we can go and have a look. What happened to the woman in the Old Covenant? The woman were a virgin, and they protected their virginity with all their might, with all their strength, with everything that they had. That was their most precious possession. The Lord instructed and said, you shall not give your virgins, your girls, to marry foreigners. They must marry a circumcised Jew. Because by the woman losing her virginity to her husband, The covenant that she cuts with her husband includes her now in her husband's covenant with God. And she's now also saved. All right. So the covenant that the woman had with her husband included her in the saving grace. That's why if a woman married a non-circumcised man, she was lost forever. Because she could not go to heaven. She could not cut the new covenant. It was finished. It was gone. And that was why it was so important for them to keep that with all their might, all their strength. All right. And if we look, we will see that Ammon took her virginity, and she was defended by killing Ammon for taking it. It was a very, very important thing. All right. Now, because the male was the origin of the covenant cut between man and God, many false doctrines started. Baal with the obelisk pointing to heaven. You know what's an obelisk? It's a pillar, a stone pillar. Comes from Egypt. And it's a tall pillar with a sharp point pointing towards heaven. One stands in Place de Concorde in Paris. One stands in front of the Vatican. They were all gifts from Egypt. One stands in New York. And that is Baal worship. Baal recognized the male and the sun as the creator of universe. And that obelisk is the male organ, and it points towards the sun. And that's a false teachings. Freemasonry, Mormons. Mormon recognizes that the male is the only one that can take a woman into eternity. That's all false doctrines that comes from the old covenant. But let's look at the new covenant. What about the new covenant then? We are the bride of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What does it say to us? We're a new creation. Brand new. If you look at me, you see one person, but I'm actually three. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. What happens when I get born again? My spirit gets born again. It becomes brand new. I become a virgin in the spirit. I am now a virgin, pure, brand new in the spirit. My soul is the battleground. That's where the fiery darts of the enemy comes in. My body is still a sinful body. This will get, when I get my glorified body, it will be perfect. But on this earth, we battle with our bodies. It's still sinful. All right. Your mind is your job and my job to get in line with my spirit. Because the spirit is born again. All right. You think I'm speaking blasphemy when I say to you that you are a virgin in the spirit. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2, for I'm jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. All right. What is important for you as a Christian? Your spiritual virginity. You keep it with all your mind, all your strength, all your power. All right. But just as the old covenant had two parts, the new covenant also has got two parts. The covenant between you and God, and then the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is vitally important. The Holy Spirit is Satan's biggest enemy. That is the restrainer. before he can take away the Satan cannot do on this earth what he wants to do. And the Holy Spirit lives within us. Where does the Holy Spirit live? Holy Spirit lives in our spirit. This morning Pastor Keith said, where light is, there cannot be darkness. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit is pure. Your Holy Spirit is 100%. Your spirit is filled by the Holy Spirit. It's pure. It's 100%. There can't be darkness in it. That your mind is where Satan attacks you. The fiery darts of the enemy. All right. So, what am I saying? Matthew 25 verse 1 to 13. Jesus gives the parable of the 10 virgins. The 10 virgins, 5 being wise, 5 being foolish. The 5 wise ones have got oil, Holy Spirit. The foolish ones hasn't got. That speaks about 10 born again Christians. 10 born again Christians. Satan will try anything to get you not to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now we come back to the weekend that we had, the Mana Camp, and there was something said there that really spoke to me, and it said, if you serve God with your mind, that is where Satan fires the darts into your mind. You serve him with guilt, and you say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I battle with my temper. I know, Father, that I'm coming short. I'm trying so hard. And you try, and you try, and you get it right for a week. But after a week, you fail again. And you feel so guilty. And you say, oh, Lord, help me. I need to get victory over this area in my life. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. And the Holy Spirit says to you, you're a real person. You're not super holy. You're a real person. I know that you have weighed yourself and found yourself 50 kgs too light. But I'm the 50 kgs for you. I know you measured yourself and you found yourself 2 meters too short. But I'm the 2 meters for you. Serve me. And then Monday night, the Holy Spirit gave me a gem. And the gem, you know, the Holy Spirit gives you sometimes gold that you cannot buy. It's too precious to buy. And the Holy Spirit said to me, the Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. The Holy Spirit will speak to your heart. The Holy Spirit does not speak to your mind. If you're very stubborn, and you don't listen to him, he will speak to your mind. But he doesn't speak to your mind. Satan speaks to your mind. Condemnation of Satan, the guilt of Satan speaks to your mind. So if you serve God with your mind, you're serving God according to the rules of Satan. And you will never have victory. You will always be in defeat. But if you listen to your heart, you get God's acceptance, God's love. God loves you so much that you don't realize it. He loves you with an unconditional love. He accepts you as you are. And when you accept and you realize that, and you say, Holy Spirit, thank you that you are the 50 kgs that I'm too short, too light, and the 2 meters that I'm too short, then the Holy Spirit helps you. And you find out, but I'm not battling. I've got victory over that temper of mine, all of us, without you even trying, because it's not about you, it's about the Holy Spirit. It's not about might, it's not about power, it's by the Spirit that you get victory. So if you serve God with your mind, you're always going to lose, because you're serving God on Satan's terms, and Satan does not want you to win, because he speaks to your mind, he fires the darts in. That's why you take up the helmet of salvation. But if you listen to God's heart, and you listen to the Holy Spirit, you will get victory over your mind. You will get victory over your life. And you will live a life more abundant. All right. Then we look at Genesis. Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 to 67, the whole chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. You can go and study it tonight. It's about Abraham sending his servant to go and fetch a bride for Isaac. And he goes, you know, it's a very popular story, you all know it. And he goes off to the well, and Rebecca comes. And she draws water for him and his animals, and he goes with her home. He puts rings into her nose, rings into her ears, bangles onto her. And he tells her about Isaac, and that he's come to fetch a bride for her. And the question was, the question first was to the parents, can we ask Rebecca to come and marry Isaac? And they said, we don't know. You have to ask her yourself. And he asked her, will you marry Isaac? And she says, yes. Why did she say yes? Remember, Abraham is a type of God. Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ. The servant is a type of the Holy Spirit. Rebecca is a type of the church, the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ says, yes, I will marry Isaac because what you've told me, because of the gospel and because of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gold bangles, the rings, the earrings, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I will go and marry. And that is what God asks us. Will you marry Jesus? Yes, we will marry Jesus. Because we know him? No. Yes, we know him out of the scripture. But because we've heard about him and we've read about him, we've got a personal experience with him through the Holy Spirit that is in us. All right, so the question tonight that I'm asking as I close the service, are you born again? Are you spiritual, a virgin? Are you pure spiritually? Have you given your life to the Lord? Second question I'm asking you is the whole, your virginity important for you? Do you keep it with all your might, all your soul, all your strength? And the third question that I'm asking you tonight is, do you listen to the Holy Spirit? Or are you serving God according to your mind? That's what I'm asking you tonight. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, Father. Father, I pray that you will help us, that we will be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, Father, that we will serve you on your terms, Father, that we will accept you, Father, that we will have a personal relationship with you, my Lord. Father, the reason that we are born on this earth is not to have an excellent job. The reason why we are born on this earth is to serve you, to worship you, and to have a relationship with you, my Lord. It's not about us, Father, it's about you, my Lord. Father, I pray that you will be the after teacher, that you will make this word alive in every one of us, Father. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.